This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. There are, according to the National Interagency Fire Center, 47 significant wildfires burning right now, almost 900,000 acres. Fires are getting bigger and they're getting closer. There's more housing being built nowadays in areas where fires are becoming increasingly common. Here in California alone, 2 million homes sit in high-risk fire zones. And Marketplace's David Weinberg reports that proximity comes with a very definite price.
When Richard Minnick looks at a charred landscape after a wildfire, he doesn't mourn the loss of the plants that were killed in the blaze.
I'm not crying at all. I'm saying, wow, you solved your fire problem for a while. The energy's gone.
Minnick is a fire scientist at the University of California, Riverside. He appreciates the beauty of the forests and the chaparral of his native California, but he also recognizes the danger it represents, and he doesn't think houses should be built in the wildland-urban interface. That's places where houses bump up against high-risk fire zones.
Straight ahead of me, I'm looking at solitary houses on tops of hills. It just ticks me off to see that.
Minnick drove me to a neighborhood in Riverside where the houses were surrounded by scrub oak, chamise, and other chaparral vegetation, which, to Minnick's eyes, is one big field of stored energy in a region where it doesn't rain for 6 months out of every year.
So it is a carpet of gasoline. Should be viewed as such, and people should think of it in those terms. And if they did so, they would think twice before they would want to live in a landscape that produces this kind of disturbance frequently.
As we drove back to Minnick's office, we came up over a ridgeline and saw a column of smoke rising in the distance.
So you can see where that fire is taking off there now. Yeah, it's on the other side of those hills.
After my interview with Minnick, I headed straight for the smoke. By the time I got to the fire near the Southern California town of Lake Elsinore, huge flames lit up the night. The local high school had been turned into a central command station for firefighting crews, and a church was handing out free hamburgers to residents like Gary Sykes, one of about 100 homeowners forced to evacuate.
Actually, I'm kind of pissed off for the simple fact that 10 o'clock this morning I get up, I see a fire, and all I see is two puny helicopters with hoses. Get this fire out and let us go home to our, you know, to our houses that we paid hard money for.
This sentiment is not uncommon among people who live in fire zones. When they see flames searching towards their house, they want them out immediately. And that's exactly what happened in Lake Elsinore. More than 250 fire crews were called to the scene. They brought with them nearly 100 fire engines, along with 6 helicopters and 6 air tankers. No buildings were lost in the blaze.
In Southern California, we have a total fire suppression strategy. In other words, that means every fire will be suppressed with as many resources as we can throw at it to keep them small because of the threat to the wildland-urban interface.
Loreen Buckweld is a suppression battalion chief with the U.S. Forest Service. The Forest Service now spends more than half of its total budget on fighting wildfires.
Most of which they're spending fighting in and around structures, housing developments, and the like, not out in the wilderness areas.
Environmental history professor Char Miller is one of many critics who doesn't think the public should be footing the bill to protect homes in high-risk fire zones. And he says we're not factoring in the human costs when we build in these areas.
As we saw with the Yarnell Hill fire, in which 19 firefighters died, struggling to fight a fire that was coming close to a brand new subdivision. It's a tragedy, to be sure, but it's a tragedy of our own making.
2 days after the Lake Elsinore fire, another fire broke out 40 miles away. It burned 16 square miles in less than 24 hours. 26 homes were destroyed and 5 firefighters were injured. Governor Jerry Brown declared a state of emergency. That means people who lost their home could be eligible for federal disaster aid. They're free to use that money to rebuild on the same plot of land where their home once stood and where seeds of chaparral plants will soon sprout from the blackened soil. Plants that Minnick points out have evolved to be drought resistant and as a result are highly flammable. In fact, they need fire to regenerate.
That combination guarantees burning. And we've had that combination of factors in geologic timescales for 300 million years. And it's not as if we're going to stop this.
I'm David Weinberg for Marketplace.